This upcoming June will mark one full decade that I've worked for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. 10 full years. It just doesn't seem possible. I can say in all honesty that it feels like I only just started working here, not that long ago. I think maybe that's a good thing, that it means something along the lines of that old adage that time flies when you're having fun. I have very much enjoyed my time as an employee of the refuge and look forward to continuing in my current position. Prior to coming to work for the refuge, I was an elementary teacher for 17 years, and I mostly enjoyed those 17 years as well. I would also say that my life as a public school teacher taught me many, many valuable lessons, some of which are still quite pertinent today. Things like the value in being flexible, learning to enjoy the little things, and trying to stay humble. Another lesson I learned was that you can't make everyone happy all the time. When any number of people are involved, it just doesn't work. The episode I did 2 weeks ago was a reminder of that. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I say that tongue-in-cheek in this case, about not making everyone happy. Let me explain. For those that missed that episode 2 weeks ago, it was a hodgepodge of winter topics, one of which was to use these weeks and months to prepare for fishing, because summer will be here soon enough. Well, that suggestion didn't sit well with a friend of mine. Hi, Steve. Who took me to task for not even paying a small amount of lip service to using the winter months to catch fish. I'm talking about ice fishing. And you know what? Steve makes a great point. I genuinely try to keep the blinders off when I consider topics for this program, realizing that we have so many terrific activities we can do in living here. Surely there are a great many folks who do enjoy ice fishing. Steve just happens to know me well enough to have reached out and said something moments after the episode 2 weeks ago aired, and I'm glad he did. My own history with ice fishing is somewhat limited, though at one time I was fairly regular with it. In college, I occasionally ice fished on farm ponds for bluegill and largemouth bass, and even have a few photos to prove it. During the 6 years I lived in Non-Dalton, ice fishing was a pleasant enough way to spend an afternoon, and something I did often. Proximity to the New Halen River also made it an easy thing to access with almost no expenditure of time to get to the good spots. I spent many a fine day catching grayling, rainbows, and dollies through the ice, sometimes in fairly large numbers. However, I haven't ice fished in over 20 years, something I'm sure I'll catch flack from my buddy Steve about. At least in doing today's episode, on some small level, he can consider me properly chastised. Like most activities, ice fishing can be as simple or complicated as you care to make it. I saw elderly women in Non-Dalton using nothing more than a simple line, hook, and salmon eggs in their ice fishing efforts and having success in such measures that it'd make any sort of professional angler blush. At the other end of the spectrum, another friend who's pretty zealous about ice fishing has shared with me some of the shacks, and I use that term loosely, that some folks in the lower 48 construct in which to ice fish each year. I say loosely because I've seen photos of some shacks that are larger and much nicer than some houses I've lived in, the obvious difference being circular holes in the floor. Ice fishing's history as a whole really doesn't have a seminal moment where it all began. Rather, it's likely that as long as man has sought fish as a food, and we're talking well before you could pick up what you needed at the grocery store, it's just as likely that he didn't stop trying to catch fish in the winter just because there was a little ice between him and a possible supper. We do know a few things. We know the Ojibwa Indians of the upper Midwest and southern Canada employed spears in their earliest attempts at ice fishing. After chipping holes in the ice, they waited for a fish to swim to a decoy that they had created out of wood. If rods were used instead of a spear, the rods were often cut from a willow branch. Even today, there are different methods of ice fishing, though most of it can probably be summed up in terms of one of three pursuits. In some parts of the country, people still use decoys to lure in fish to spear. Another method is the use of tip-ups. A tip-up is a nifty little device used to suspend live or frozen bait at a set depth through the ice. Tip-ups do not require the angler to be at the exact location when the fish hits. The tip-up detects when a fish strikes. When a fish does take the bait, a flag tips up or, in some cases, down to signal the angler that a fish has taken the bait. Tip-ups are neat in that they allow anglers to cover a larger area with multiple lines in the water. The third method is to simply sit near a hole and use a rod and reel, as you would with regular fishing, though the rod is often much shorter. Live and dead bait as well as lures can be used, whether separate or in conjunction. It does well to check with regulations because, as with any other sort of hunting or fishing regulations, the specific about what's allowed can vary greatly from state to state and even within different regions of the same state. Well, what you actually need to be able to ice fish is a fairly short list. Like with most things, there are items that can add greatly to the comfort, ease, and enjoyment of ice fishing. Some of these items, while you can get by without, are what I would consider nigh on necessity. An auger is one such item. Can you cut a hole in the ice with an axe? Sure. But an auger is so much easier, it's beyond the scope of words to describe. And those pretty smooth, even holes straight down just look so picturesque. There are hand augers, which require you to supply the muscle, and motorized augers, which make you more of a spectator to the process. In addition, a scoop of some sort, called a skimmer by some, is nice to be able to keep the hole open and free of ice. These often look like a giant soup ladle with small holes in them. Two other items I'd argue as being needed are something to sit on, especially if you're using a rod and reel, and a small sled to put your items in, if you're walking out onto the ice. For folks with snow machines or four-wheelers, well, you can just drive right over to wherever your location happens to be. But minus one of these machines, it's nice to have a way to move your gear, especially if you're toting an auger. With regards to seats, it can be something as simple as an inverted 5-gallon bucket to something much, much more sophisticated, comfortable, and expensive. I'd like to say a quick word about the fact that this is an activity that takes place on the ice, which covers really, really cold, potentially dangerous water. My point here being to exercise caution when doing anything on the ice in the winter. During the dead of winter, of a normal winter, probably this isn't an issue. And if you ice fish in an area that sees a lot of traffic, such as up around heavily traveled parts of Lake Alecnagik, to use one local example, there's probably some safety in numbers thing that kicks in, as far as knowing it's safe to go on. But at all times, use caution when you're on the ice. There's an ice thickness chart that's been popular for several years. Probably many of you have seen it. That chart states that for new, clear ice, if it's less than 4 inches, stay off completely. 4 inches or more is okay for ice fishing and other foot traffic. If you're using a snow goat or four-wheeler, 6 or 7 inches should be a minimum. For those who use anything larger, such as a truck, you'll need a foot or more, according to the chart. According to that same chart, white ice or snow ice is only half as strong as new clear ice, so you should double those thickness guidelines when traveling on white ice. During several winters when I lived in the village, I saw the city use their motor grader to plow a road on the ice to the other side of the lake, which was pretty strong evidence for safety in being able to be out on the ice. Of course, if it's supporting a motor grader, it's possible you wouldn't have had an auger long enough to matter anyway. The bottom line, be safe. Again, ice fishing can lend itself to a major investment into truly expensive and involved equipment, as with most other outdoor pursuits today. In fact, it's probable that ice fishing anglers today would either be laughed at or heavily envied by their ancient ice angling forefathers. In addition to effortless powered augers, some fishermen make use of such things as extremely high-tech fish locators. My dad, a dedicated ice fisherman in his own right, when there is ice to fish on in central Kansas, uses an underwater camera to locate the fish. It's common for dedicated ice fishermen to use GPS devices to record and locate particularly good fishing holes. One last thing I'll note with regards to ice fishing. It's a winter activity. No matter how spartan or complicated your ice angling efforts are, whether you're simply sitting on a bucket or fishing out of a winter angling Taj Mahal, take 2 steps to be able to more fully enjoy your time outside. First, dress for the weather and the conditions. If you're warm while you're doing it, you'll stay longer. Tied to that is to bring small comforts that aid in doing just that, such as snacks to munch on and a preferred beverage to drink. As I mentioned at the outset, it's been a long while since I went ice fishing, and frankly, that might not change this year. Perhaps next year. That said, I do feel sheepish I haven't addressed it as a topic on Field Notes. A lot of folks around here like to ice fish. Thanks once again to Steve for setting me straight. Good friends have a way of doing that. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.